Good morning. I'm Coach Jake, and God is good. And some of you may have noticed this detail. Some of you might not have. But we saw a first fruit of something just then. So Coach Daniel, who's leading us in worship, he didn't lead very much of what we just experienced. Like, it was the other team members leading, and that's the whole vision with coaches, is that we equip other people to use their gifts, and we're starting to see that, and it's good to mark it. It's really cool to see that with worship, and we've got these two vision passages. One is that the role of a leader is to equip people to use their gifts, that when we're a team together using our gifts, we look like Jesus. The other vision passage that we have is the Great Commission, that Jesus says our job is to go and make disciples, and he defines it for us. He says a disciple is somebody who's baptized into the new life in me, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then he says, and they're being taught to obey everything I've commanded. And so we're in this series, Salt and Light, and we're looking at what are the things that Jesus commands, and let's do them. And so today, the passage we're going to be talking about is a difficult one, a tricky thing to talk through. But the reason we're talking through it is we want to follow Jesus. And if you're here today and you're saying, I want to be with Jesus, know he'll meet you right where you're at, and he'll invite you into all sorts of things that are amazing if you'll take him up on the offer, okay? And so let me start us off in kind of a strange spot today. So if you asked me, Jake, what's your favorite restaurant in Independence, I would tell you that it's El Chavo. It's this Mexican place. I don't know if you've been there, but it's down on 23rd Street, real close to here, just barely west of Sterling. And love it. It's my favorite restaurant here in town. Really, really good. But the ironic thing about that is when I was 18 and first moved out of my parents' house, the place I was living, two doors down from us was a Taco Bell. And obviously Taco Bell is not as good as El Chavo, but the ironic thing is when I was 18, there was also a Burger King across the street from the Taco Bell. And when my buddies, my roommates and stuff would want to go to Taco Bell, I'd be like, well, I don't like Mexican food. And so I would go to that Burger King and have to buy stuff at Burger King and walk over to that Taco Bell. And my brother is here today. He can verify that. That sort of stuff was happening all the time I was growing up because I was super picky, and Sean would make fun of me for it and stuff. So how did I go from I don't even like it, don't even want to try it, to my favorite restaurant in town is a Mexican restaurant? So some of you, a lot of you know, if you're here a lot, I talk a lot about Mexico. So I lived in Mexico for a couple years. The first summer I interned with the ministry down there, I lived there for 10 weeks. I didn't speak hardly any Spanish. In fact, while I was there that summer, I only learned three words of Spanish. One was foco, which means light bulb, because I had to go to the hardware store by myself and buy light bulbs one day. And so the whole time I was getting, I think I ran there, I didn't have a car, ran to the hardware store, and I was just saying foco, foco, foco as I went to try to remember it. So that stuck with me. And then sin lechuga, because that means no lettuce, because I didn't like lettuce. So those are three words I learned in 10 weeks. I didn't learn a lot of Spanish. But since I didn't know much Spanish, I pretty much had to eat whatever the people around me were eating. I didn't get to pick a lot of stuff. And so for 10 weeks, I ate whatever was put in front of me, which was a lot of stuff I didn't like, to be honest. And at the end of that, I was different. And I liked a lot more foods than I used to like. And I have a family member now currently who's very picky like I used to be. And I have this like pity or empathy for this person more than maybe a normal person would. But, like, I remember what it's like to have to go get food from somewhere else and take it. And it's not the best way to live your life. You know, it's a bad way to live your life, being really picky with food. But I can sympathize with that. And it's so enjoyable now, like I'm thankful that I like so many different things. So I couldn't help myself but show you guys, this is some more food from El Chavo. So they make really good street tacos and things like that. Their chorizo quesadilla would be with some green, light green salsa would be my tip if you go there later. So I show you all this stuff, I like all this food, it's It's a weird way to start our sermon today because our sermon is about fasting. And if you've been reading it in Matthew, that's where we're headed. So sorry to be showing you this. Say it ain't so. Why did I start a fasting thing with this whole thing about restaurants? It's because in order to like El Chavo, I had to do a bunch of stuff I didn't like to become different and to get to enjoy a lot of stuff I didn't expect or maybe even want. And when it comes to fasting, most people don't ever fast, just like most people don't go 10 weeks eating food they don't like. I mean, at least like in our country, right? And if you want to get to some things, if you want to be different, if you want to be salt and light and change the people around you, you're going to have to do some things that are different. And fasting is definitely different in our culture. Our culture is all about, like, satisfy my desires right now, okay? In every area of our life, but it includes food. Most of us, we want, you know, if we think we might get hungry later, you know, we're like, well, I'm going to put some snacks in my car. I'm going to eat something now. I'm going to eat a big meal now because I'm going to eat later, a late lunch or something. That's how most of us are like, we avoid ever even maybe being hungry, much less choosing to be hungry for a period of time. So let's read a little bit about what Jesus says. Verse 16 of Matthew chapter 6, his first three words, when you fast, it shows that Jesus is talking to a very different culture than modern American culture. Jesus is talking to a group of Jews about 2,000 years ago. They fasted a lot. Everybody in the community fasted fairly regularly. So Jesus doesn't say you have to fast. He says when you fast. He's talking to a very different group, very different culture. And today, the whole time we're talking, we're not going to find a command from Jesus that you have to fast. If you look through the whole New Testament, there's no command to Christians that you have to fast. Some of you are like, you know, like, I was worried, but now I know I don't have to change anything about my life. You know, like, don't have to skip any meals, no command. And that's true. There is no command. I don't want to put some burden on you that Jesus doesn't put on you. If you look through the Bible as a whole, you're not going to find a command for us today to fast. As Christians, it's not there. So what do we have from Jesus and what we're about to read today? I would say is an invitation. It's going to invite us to do something that's going to lead us to a good place. It's an option, okay? So let's read a little bit more about it. Jesus says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. Fasting was such a big deal in Jesus' day. People respected you if you fasted, so then people would show off that they were fasting. So this is not something we really do nowadays, but same kind of lessons we've been learning lately about when you do your giving or your praying or all these different good things you might do, if you're doing it to show off to someone else, God's not interested in it. He's not condemning you for it, but he's not rewarding you for it either. He's not interested. Verse 17, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. He's saying, do some practical things to cover up the good stuff that you're doing. Verse 18, so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. Last week we talked about that a little bit. God is not seen in what he does, and he wants to connect with us in those private things that nobody else sees, where it's just the two of us, just you and God. He wants to connect with you there. It says, your Father who sees what is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So again, it's not a command from Jesus, but there's a definite invitation here. He's saying if you fast, not to impress other people or for some other weird reason, but if you fast to get close to God, then God will reward you. This is a promise from God that Jesus gives us. So right now, you know, it's kind of close to lunchtime. Early service, they had just had breakfast. I think they were a little more open to this. But maybe you'll just stick with me right now and say, like, okay, God's promising to reward me in some way if I fast. Maybe you have enough interest to hear a little more about fasting. We're not committing. We're just hearing a little more, okay? So Some of you have probably never fasted ever before. You've never gone a day without food and just drank water, or gone a period of time with that, longer than like 2 hours. So I wanted to ask a couple folks from here to talk to us a little bit about their experiences with fasting. So Michelle and Shalene, if you guys are out there, if you'll come up. And let me get you mics. And if you guys will hold these fairly close, that would be great. So Michelle, you were in flight training a little over a year ago, and one of the disciplines we learned about was fasting, and you had to do some fasting for that. So tell us about how you got started with fasting and kind of how the role that it plays for you.
Okay. So I had never done fasting before, and as Jake mentioned, I was in the flight training class, and as part of the disciplines that we were learning, fasting was one of them. And so he presented it to the group, and we were going to do like a group of 4 or 5 of us fasting all together. Well, that also happened to be the first time he ever asked me to be on the stage with my mentor, Kathy. There was a message that day about mentoring and all of that. So, okay, I'm going to be fasting. I'm going to be up on stage talking about mentoring. I had just had gallbladder surgery, and I was going through some personal things in my life, and there was just a lot. And I was like, okay, all right, perfect. So I said, Jake, hey, can I have a protein shake in the morning? Because I'm going to be so nervous that, like, you know, I'll just fall off the stage. And he's like, yeah, that's fine. You know, if you're gonna pass out or something, I'm like, yeah. So, you know, I started the fast with everyone else and went through the night and everything was good. Got up that morning and didn't even really feel hungry. We were doing a 24-hour fast. But I was like, okay, am I going to go do this protein shake or not? I didn't do it. And, that's not the point. But anyway, didn't do the protein shake and threw an apple in my bag just in case. But I got here and I was just really like praying through and, you know, just digging into God because I was scared to be up here for one thing and just a nervous wreck. But I wanted, you know, I wanted what God wanted said to, you know, everyone here, and I wanted to be successful in the fast in the sense that, you know, I was able to complete it without giving in, and so I just was really pressed into God, and I made it through the 24-hour fast, but saying that is just that I had a connection then with God that I had never, ever had before in my life, because I just, you know, for me, it's easy really to turn to food for things. And so for me to let him fill me and to let him be who I pressed into in my life, made it, I could do it.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And Michelle, I know you lead a small group here as well. So talk to us a little bit about how you pass this on to other folks.
Okay, so on a Wednesday night, we were talking probably about the sermon as we usually do, and I'm not entirely sure how it came up, but Shalene said we were talking about spiritual gifts, so we'll go with that. Anyway, we were talking, and we just got on the idea of fasting, and so several of the girls in my group decided that we were going to do a fast, and so we didn't all do it together, but kind of around the same time together, several of us fasted, and so it was really cool because it gave everybody else, I wanted everybody else to have the opportunity to kind of experience what I had experienced. And so Shalene's got a whole awesome story about her experience with
fasting.
Tell
us about it, yeah.
Okay, so I believe that we were talking about spiritual gifts. And
tell us just a little bit about your first experience fasting. What was that like? Like, how did it help you grow?
Yeah. Okay, so I had never really done a fast before. I had tried, but I had never really done one successfully. And so for me, I definitely prayed myself up on the fast before I even started it. And for me, it just took me to a whole nother place where I was completely dependent on God because I'm healthy and I like to eat. And you know, when you're in those moments where you feel faint or where you feel like, you know, God, I can't do this or whatever, I found myself, like, especially when I was at work, hiding in the bathroom and just taking everything to God and just saying, you know, Lord, this is yours and I'm doing this for you and I need you to fill me. And literally, like, those moments passed and they stayed gone for quite some time, usually. Maybe once a day it would hit, but it was, he was sustaining me and I was totally depending on him. I wasn't going to my neighbor or my coworker or whoever and like, I'm so hungry. Like, it was like, no, let me just step away from this situation and I'm going to go hide in the bathroom and I'm just going to pray and I'm going to give this to God. And that's what he did. Like, he just totally filled me and I had no desire for anything but him. And it took me to that special place with him. And it was awesome.
Yeah, very cool. And you mentioned in first service, right after the end of that first fast, what happened?
So, like, during the fast, I'm like, all right, God, you're going to, like, do this awesome thing in for me, and you're going to reveal something to me, or, you know, whatever. And, well, that never came. The night that I finished my fast, I came to church, and I ate. And something actually did happen. Like, after church, I left here, I stopped at Quick Trip, I needed some air in my tire, and there's a lady standing on, you know, her arm was up on the air hose machine, and she had a bike and a backpack, and you could just clearly tell that she was in need. And, so I'm like standing there putting gas in my car, and I'm like, all right, Lord, like, what do you want me to do? Like, literally, and like, God's telling me, like, you, like, what do you mean? What do I want you to do? Like, she is here for you, you know, like, yeah. Pray for her. So that's what I did. And so here's the thing. Like, I prayed for people many times, but this was like something different. Like, it was something supernatural that I never experienced before in my life. And I like to say, like, and I don't know if this is really what it was or not, because God hasn't revealed that to me. But, you know, like, I feel like sometimes when we encounter people, you know, we're always supposed to be the light, because we don't know if it's actually Jesus or not. And, like, that was kind of the moment that I was questioning, like, God, is this you? You know, like, are you serious? You know, but I don't know, because he hasn't revealed that to me. But whatever the case, because of that fast, I feel like inside of me, it was something supernatural going on.
Yeah, awesome. So either one of you, any tips for somebody who's like, I've never fasted before, any tips as they get started?
I'll give practical tips and Shalene will give spiritual tips. Because.
Okay. Yeah.
So practical tips are, you know, decide on the time when you're going to do it, you know, and probably pray up. Shalene will talk about that a little bit more. But don't think, okay, I'm going to start fasting at 4:30 on Saturday afternoon and think, okay, I'm going to go hit Golden Corral because I'm not going to be eating for 24 hours or 36 hours or a couple of days or whatever, because your body will not like that at all. So don't do that. And then once you make it through your fast, water fast is the fast that I have done. Once you come off of that, just eat lightly, because also your body will not want you to go to Golden Corral and fill up because you haven't eaten for 24 hours or whatever. But, yeah. But anyway, so there's that.
Awesome. Thank you, Michelle.
So I think the piece of advice that I would get would be number one, and I just kind of learned this today, actually. Thank you, guys. In church and in Sunday school, that, like, check yourself and make sure your motive is right. Like, if your motive is not simply to become closer to Jesus, then you're really fasting to starve yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And there's no point in that. So that's the number one thing that I really learned, is, like, check your motive. Like, why are you doing this? And then number two, don't just say, all right, Lord, I'm going to fast today. Like, pray yourself up. Like, take a couple days and pray about it and tell the Lord what you want to do and why you want to do it and ask for his help. Tell him, you know, let him know, like, obviously we can't do this on our own. And I need you, God. Like, I need you to fill this empty hole that I may or may not feel while I'm fasting. But whatever the case, I need you. So pray yourself up. The third thing is, and I think this is pretty important too, is make sure you have some scripture that you can refer to during your fast that supports fasting. Just, you know, little reminders that, you know, say, like, hey, we don't have to worry about the fleshly things of this world because God will provide for us.
Yeah.
And those are my three main things.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you guys so much. So Michelle and Shalene, they're giving you great advice. I want to give you a few more little tips. But if you really want to start doing some sort of fast, I know our passage we just read, it talks about doing it in secret. If you've never fasted before, it's very appropriate to go talk to somebody before you do, to even do a fast with someone else, okay, and then work your way into doing something where nobody else knows about it, okay, because you're brand new at it, and you don't want to hurt yourself in any way or have, like, a terrible experience. You know, you want to talk to Michelle, talk to somebody who's fasted before. A book that you could check out if you're a book type of person, literally check out from the library here locally from Mid-Continent, is Celebration Discipline by Richard Foster. It is a great chapter on fasting. But a few quick tips. One is a typical fast, what we would find in the Bible, is you drink water and you fast. Some people will do, they'll do juice or different things. I would highly recommend not ever doing a fast where you don't drink water, okay? So that's not a normal thing. Normally when people fast, they still drink water, okay? You want to drink plenty of water. Some really quick, small little tips too. Think about if you work, you know, if you're Marcus and you're out doing asphalt work and it's 110 degrees where you are, like, maybe not the first day for you to ever experiment with fasting ever, you know? Think about, what am I going to have to do today physically? Also, you know, Shalene was talking about praying beforehand. Don't pray this prayer of, God, I'm going to fast for 72 hours because I love you so much, I promise. And I say that from experience of, like, I've promised God, like, God, I'm going to fast in this way and then failed at it. And, like, it's this foolish thing to do, to say a promise to God and then not carry it out. Like, it's not wise to do that. So especially when you're starting, but probably all the time, say, God, this is what my hope is. Please help me to get closer to you, because that's my ultimate goal and my plan is to fast or whatever, you know. But don't make some big promise that then is hard to carry out. And then if you know, you're a diabetic, you have any sort of dietary stuff going on, like, do talk to a doctor before you do this stuff. Like, be smart about what you do, okay? Or, you know, if you're 8 years old, you know, talk to your parents or whatever before you do this. You know, like, think about what you do before you do it. But the purpose of fasting is to get closer to God. It's to say, I'm letting go of something that's good. Food is good. It's a gift from God. But I'm letting go of it for a while so I can be full of God in another way. And the passage we just read, it talks about God rewarding fasting. I want you to think about it as, like, if you started to get into mountain climbing, let's say, or rock climbing, and so you go to some little rock climbing gym around here and you climb a little bit and you think it's great, hey, that's cool. At some point, if you're really into rock climbing, you probably need to leave Missouri or go on a trip somewhere else. You know, like, there's a lot of things with rock climbing you could never experience in Missouri. And you might hear from some climber, like, oh, when you climb it, it's going to be so great. When you see a sunrise after a big climb, blah, blah, blah. And then you do your first climb, and maybe it's cloudy or whatever. You know, there's not a sunrise. You might hear some awesome stuff from someone else who's fasted. But the reality is, like, you have to explore it yourself. Fasting is just a tool to explore God. And you need to explore that yourself. And if you say, like, I love God, I want more God in my life, but then here's this big tool, and you never even try it. It's like, do you really want more of God in your life? Or are you just content, like the person that goes to the rock climbing gym in Missouri? Like, I'm just content to just chill out here. It's like, well, you probably don't love it. I'm not insulting it as, like, it's bad, but I don't think that's, like, the love of your life. And if God's the love of your life, like, try these different avenues to get close to him. A little story with regards to that before we wrap up here. I told you my first summer in Mexico, I was there 10 weeks, and I learned 3 words in Spanish. Because I thought I was too dumb at learning languages. I thought I'd never learn Spanish, so why try? And so I learned just enough words to get by, and I was leading this housing ministry thing where we build houses for folks, these little tiny little starter homes. And the second summer I was there, sometimes this picture here, the bottom left, the guy with the helmet hair and the kind of shadow there, that is me. I was like that helmet of hair. And doing a house dedication for this lady in the middle, this family. And Luis is the guy on the far right. He's having to translate everything I say because I don't know enough to get my way through that. And sometimes if we wouldn't have a translator with us, we'd go over and talk to these families, and I learned like just enough words to like charade my way through like house design with a family. So I would say things like ventana, puerta, you know, this thing of like, I'm literally saying like window, door, and then like I'd get like one or the other back from them and be like, okay, so we're gonna do a window there, and then I'd say like puerta, like, you know, I just say the same stuff. We'd like charade our way around, we'd mark the four corners of the house and just kind of do it, and then I'd say like lluvia, like this, and that would always take them a while because lluvia just means rain. So when someone's saying rain and doing this, it takes a while to figure out like where do you want the roof to slope, where do you want the rain to run off in your yard. Takes a while, but enough hand motions and enough saying rain over and over, people figure it out eventually. What is this crazy white guy talking about? So I did that, and I actually didn't think it was that wrong. I thought, like, I know ventana and puerta and lluvia. And some of us in the room, we know that. You're doing things so broken, and you feel pretty good about yourself. Like, man, I got this together, you know? Like, and then you have an experience like I had of Dustin, this kid in the far right, this guy in the far right. Dustin was fluent in Spanish. And I went over to a house thing with him, and I started my whole ventana spiel, and then Dustin starts just talking with the family. And it's that moment where you see how far you have to go. Maybe you've had that in another area of your life, right? And you realize, like, oh, all this stuff I felt good about is pretty broken. I got a long way to go. And here's the magical thing I saw with Dustin, though, is most of the time you meet people and you want to connect with them quickly, but we all know, like, if you really want to show that somebody you love them, it takes time normally, right? Like, you can't just do that. And when I was living in Mexico, I would really care about these folks, but I just couldn't get much through to them because of the language barrier. But the amazing thing about that was that I saw that Dustin has, I mean, it's almost magic, was you're in a little town in Mexico, and you're a white guy. No one expects you to be able to speak any Spanish. Like, there's no expectation at all. And so when Dustin would show up and start speaking fluent Spanish to these families, it was an instant connection like nothing I've ever seen between two English speakers. It was a, you care about me, you value us, you respect us. It was all these things that normally take like months or years to establish. It was like instant. And when I saw that, I saw people I love who I couldn't really connect with, I saw like there's a way to make a loving, respectful connection. I wanted it. I wanted it bad. And that's, I mean, Spanish was rough for me to learn. I'm really dumb. Everyone I was around, the whole time I was learning Spanish, learned faster than me. I mean, I'm not smart at it. But the reason I can speak, you know, Spanish with Pastor Douglas and these other Kairos folks now is because I was motivated wanting to connect to families like that. Like, I loved them enough to go through something I didn't want to do. And the reality is, for most of us, I don't think many of us are going to enjoy fasting. I'm going to be upfront. I'm not a car salesman on it. Like, that's just reality. I don't think you're going to like it in and of itself. The reason to do it is you want that relational connection. I didn't like Spanish, but I loved these people, and that was the open door to get to them. That's what motivated me. If you're here today, like, the thing that would motivate you to say, someday this week, I'm going to go 24 hours only drinking water, the only thing that can motivate that in this room is because I love Jesus and I want that pathway to get closer to him. I want to be full of him. So we have some people down front you can pray with. You get to decide today, what do you want to do with his invitation? It's not a command. Nobody's leaving here with guilt. It's an invitation from Jesus to say, here's a way to get close to me. Daniel's going to come up. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you love us, that you have given us food, God. I thank you for that. And I thank you that you want to fill our souls as well. And I pray you'd guide each one of us that are willing to go on this adventure. I pray you'd guide us to how to fast in a way that's healthy for our bodies and healthy for our souls. It's in your name we pray. Amen.